Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good day, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on this Super Saturday, July 15th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in our Ice Pick Vodka Body Armor Studios. Of course, I'm Mike Rickard alongside baseball Ben Botham, the Savannah State graduate and Seminole grad, now member of the faculty and the baseball coaching staff. He dogged me on Thursday night. He was supposed to be one of the celebrities in the long drive contest down here. And he had better things to do. And I'm calling you on the carpet. I think you saw the size of that guy you're up against and walked out on the competition. He made Bryson DeChambeau, and he almost looked like an Aaron Judge, didn't he?
Yeah. He was definitely a big guy out there. I'm not very good with the driver sometimes, Mike. I will say that. You give me a nice 3-wood or a hybrid, and I can launch that
putt. You can't be in that contest with those clubs. You got to get out there around 300. Ray Kennedy is kind enough to join us today. We're on the outside perch. We're in the Yuengling America's Best Brewery. We got the upper course and the lower course now in the 19th hole clubhouse studios. We are on the lower course, and we're actually feeling the effects of golfing outdoors, fellas, because it's a bit sultry here. So when you say that we've got windows on the way, but we give you that flavor of being out there in the nice Florida boiling heat while you're playing Pebble Beach and it's 54 degrees.
Yeah, it's nice and warm. I will say that, you know, it's better than being cold somewhere up north. I'll take the heat any day over the cold.
Well, here's what we got going in the next couple of hours right here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're going to start out to have a little conversation on the Rays. We'll get caught up on the standings, and we'll get an update on who won Wimbledon this morning. The Scottish Open taking place a week before the British. I still call it the British Open. I get chastised by my golf pros, but it was the British Open for 30, 40 years broadcast on America, but now it's the Open Championship. Like everything else, have to be politically correct. So we'll get you some updates from there. And then, of course, the Rays rained out last night at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. I've been in that facility many times. I love that ballpark. But Ben has a different opinion of that.
Mike, and that's what they get for not playing in America's ballpark.
The queen of concrete, what'd you call it?
Yeah, the temple of turf, the old gray lady. There's a plethora of good names.
I was over there last Sunday thinking of all the, I'm talking to Barry Smith and the guys I'm with, and I'm talking about all these freaking goofy ass names that he keeps labeling the trop. And Ray, I'm sure over the years you've heard about all of them.
The white elephant. That was the first.
The white elephant.
The white elephant back in 1985.
So first. We will talk rowdies in a rowdy segment brought to you by Coca-Cola Beverages and Body Armor and our good friend Jim Hart. They play tonight against the Birmingham Legion, a 7:30 first kick. They're undefeated since May 1st. Very impressive for the rowdies. We'll talk to Vicki King. She's the Atlanta Lakes Hall of Fame coach. Then we'll switch gears, and Ray and Ben and I, Brad Richardson on the way, we'll chit-chat about the world of sport. We'll talk some Rays. We'll talk some Bucks. Whatever comes to forefront as I look through the New York Post and ask you guys questions.
That was a great open, but you guys forgot you buried the lead. Tom Brady's coming back, right?
Oh, we'll talk about that at 12:35. We're not going there right now. And God, and get ready for 12:35 and 1:45. Those conversations, that's what you're going to hear out of Ray's mouth. Very unpredictable, but always entertaining and informative. And then we'll talk to Josh Wilson. This is unbelievable. 2 weeks away from the Body Armor, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, Pinellas County media day downstairs, 25 teams now. And we'll talk to Josh Wilson. He's coordinating things for us. The teams are very receptive, excited about it. The Friday before, I'll be over at Raymond James Stadium. I've been honored to be asked to kind of emcee that. We'll have 34 teams from Hillsboro over there at Raymond James Stadium. So I'm excited about that. I better take my wheelhouse, Brad Richardson, with me to that baby as well.
The beautiful thing about that for me is because I came up, I was in high school way before social media. Computers didn't even come around until 8 years, well, 3 years after I graduated from college or got out of college. But these kids these days, and Ben, you know, because you were in it a lot sooner and you more recently, there's so much they put into it, and they're so used to being on social media and so used to having these channels that we can do something like this and have these media days and get them all together and let them. I hate to use the word because it sounds like, but let them peacock a little, let them spread their plumes.
Yeah, no, almost every kid now. I mean, you look at their Twitters and it's a post of them playing in a perfect game tournament or throwing to a couple batters, and they're showing off their pitches, their breaking balls, their fastballs, really letting the world know what they have to offer.
And what age group are you talking about?
Just Pee Wee's preps. I mean, anywhere.
Yeah, well, if the Pee Wees are doing that, which some dads are allowing that to happen, and some coaches, they're ruining these kids at a young age, and you know that, young man.
Baby Gronk, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, Baby Gronk, yeah. He's definitely one of them, you know. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. They over, you know.
Look who's coming to the studio. Thanks to my man from Canada, Paul. He brought Brady back. You said he was coming, and he arrived within 5 minutes.
He was here. That is beautiful. I'll tell you what, that's probably one of my favorites, standing straight up in the pocket, both hands clasped on a football, looking downfield, surveying. That's probably one of my favorite Tom Brady pictures right there.
And it's life size. And what we are going to do, I'm going to take good care of this young man for bringing that to us. Get him warmed up for the game, man. We got 2 hours. Brady's in. He's got to get warmed up.
I just wish we could have seen him in a creamsicle uniform.
Well, potentially.
You never know. If
according to Ray. So let's get some scores from last night and where the Rays are. They're only a game and a half on top in the East right now. Orioles are red hot. Took care of the Marlins last night. And I tell you what, a week from actually, this Thursday, it's Orioles in town, and it's it'll probably be sold out, just like the last homestand. Every game was sold out for 6 days, and we will probably be absolutely jam-packed here. Orioles and Rays for the lead in the East is what I'm predicting.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, Mike. The Orioles are a great team. I mean, Adley Rutschman, he's a phenom over there. I really am very surprised with how good the Orioles are this year. The amount of prospects and talents that they've brought up, it's really phenomenal to see that, especially a team where they kind of would, you know, they were kind of the worst team in baseball for a little while.
Well, my man Mountcastle and Ryan and I had talked to his parents and grandparents when they're in town his rookie year and then last year. He's injured out right now, and you know what a threat he is too. So you had Mountcastle back into their lineup, and those Orioles are somebody to be reckoned with. And right now, I kind of love this. The Yankees are actually a half game out of the wild card race.
They're in last place now in the AL East,
and I
could not be happier. And you know why? I think it's because they defiled their beautiful pinstripe jerseys with that stupid advertisement.
$25 million.
I don't care.
I knew you were going to go there. I'm on your side, brother.
They don't let them have beards, long hair, but you're allowing to put an advertisement on a jersey.
You think George Steinbrenner somewhere is turning over?
Oh, he's rolling.
Think the New York Post likes it. They're so pissed off. $25 million for. Oh yeah, and look at that. Yep. That logo
looks so stupid. What was it, Star Insurance or something like that?
Star Insurance. Insuring the stars, boys.
I'm just happy the Rays haven't done it yet.
And I want to say this because, really, let's put a little light on this because we might not have a chance. Got a great show today. So much coming up. But the Rays had their most outstanding performance at the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Randy Arozarena finishes runner-up, which was just unbelievable. I mean, we go back to Carlos Pena back in 2009, and he basically, I don't think he even had 5 home runs in the first round.
Well, he and Longoria, they're the only ones that have ever represented the Rays. And, of course, the next day, Dan Patrick, and I love Dan Patrick, he mentioned that the excitement was getting back in baseball. You got these young stars, energy. Guess who he didn't mention? Randy. In Randy Land. Yeah. I was like, Pat. Dan, you're missing somebody who was the show, actually, and he created a show. Those other guys didn't create it just with their appearance and being there, but he creates energy.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because who brought all the energy the first very first game back in April from the World Baseball Classic?
The man.
Rose Arena.
Randy Land.
And I think he brings that bump after the All-Star break. I think that the guys had enough experience. Gandy, I think everyone went out there. They did get respect. They got that. Although when McClanahan and them walked in,
they didn't announce him. It was crazy.
No, and there are some reports that, which, you know, it's fake news, that the Rays disrespected the opening and by not being punctual. And that's ludicrous. Those are three great guys who were very appreciative of being on the All-Star game. All right, we got to go from the small round ball, we'll talk plenty about that the rest of the show, to the bigger round ball, and that's soccer, a topic that, thank heavens, we have the godfather. It sounds like we have the godfather and the godmother of soccer. What are we doing, Jim Hart? But this lady, Vicky King, as well, Land O'Lakes head coach. She's actually a Hall of Fame coach across America. And you know the thing that I was most impressed with, fellas, because you know my affinity for the Special Olympics and helping people, is her commitment to the Special Olympics. So let's bring the trio in and add some intelligence to the great world of soccer on the cusp of the Women's World Cup. So welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, Mr. Hart. How are you? How your week been?
Doing great, Mike. And I'll tell you what, that debate on the advertisement on the uniform, the other side of it is lower ticket prices if they can bring more money in elsewhere.
At Yankee Stadium? I think not, my friend.
You know, when we get to the Rays, though, and we see Ferg on that jersey, I want to see Ferg's on the front of the Rays shirt.
Yeah, you betcha. Did you say the price was $2,500? I think we got a shot. No, not $25 million. And I guess that's just the world that we live in, and the Yankees don't need any more revenue. They just need better performance. So let's get back to the game, a great game of soccer. And why don't you introduce your guests to the airwaves? I believe I met Vicky at the Champions Draw. Maybe I didn't.
You did. Well, joining us to talk to Vicky is David Wilson, the athletic director of Wiregrass Ranch High School and head boys and tennis soccer and tennis coach. And he was on the show, I believe, last week or the week before.
Did a great job.
Yes. And but, Mike, we are joined by royalty here, with Vicky being on the show. So an interesting fact, super interesting fact, is that the next win that Land O'Lakes Girls High School has will be Vicky's 572nd career win, and that will separate her from retired coach Judge Bob Bauman, who was at Jesuit. And he had 571 career wins, and that would make Vicky the winningest high school coach in Tampa Bay. And that's who we're joined by today. 2003 state champion, former state coach of the year, Special Olympics coach, Land O'Lakes High School head girls coach, Vicky King.
Thank you.
Shy also. And she's not going to toot her own horn. But, you know, it's important that David's on his show with us as well, because David's a Pasco County athletic director. And it was David that suggested that the Girls Champions League trophy should be named the Vicky King Trophy. So there's another accolade in Vicky's column, is that the trophy that her team plays for actually bears her name.
That's very impressive. He probably doesn't even want to look at that trophy, do you, Vicky?
I like to look at it. I wish we could bring it home, but it's a great honor to have your name on the trophy and be recognized by your peers who I have coached alongside and against for many years.
Well, Billie Jean King can't hold anything to you. I see that she had an award at the ESPYs. And down here in the great state of Florida, we got our own Vicky King award. And that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
So, Mike, Vicky has been coaching 36 years. She is a teacher, retired teacher. She retired after 33 years of teaching. But she continues coaching, continues working with Special Olympics. And also, hopefully, we can get her to talk about some of the adult groups that she works with as well. She's a real asset to the community. David Wilson, jump in.
Yes. I was just going to say, when we decided to finally add the girls' side to the Girls' Champions League, you know, I originally started it with the boys' side, and then Jim Hart Trophy is what the boys play for, and I was trying to find somebody that would match up to your level of success and for the amount of work and time and effort you put into a program. And fortunately, I found someone that topped you, Jim. So I'm from Vicky and asked her on give her a call, or I think it was a call though too, and asked her if she would be okay with that, and I sure she was, and she was happy to have that and honored to have that. But I couldn't think of a better person to be put on the trophy.
Hey, I got to interrupt for a second. I didn't realize. So we really do, David. We've got royalty. We've got Jim Hart has a trophy of his name on it, and Vicky does. We have to get one for you, my friend.
You know, well, Mike, these guys. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Breaking news. So, Mike, you know that South Florida is planning to start their own Champions League in November, December 2024.
Yep.
Once they get their Champions League off the ground, their winner is going to play our winner in what is going to be called the Super Cup. The Tampa Bay Rowdies are going to host the first Super Cup in 2024, and those two teams will be playing for the David Wilson Trophy.
Congratulations.
Now that's very impressive. You guys do take care of each other.
Yeah.
The thing that just blows me away, all three of you, and I've mentioned this to Jim many times, and David, you heard me, go Rockers, is the fact that, you guys are pioneers. Everybody predicted that soccer would take over America. It would surpass baseball and Little League participation numbers. And, and I started hearing these rumblings in Des Moines, Iowa in the early 2000s when I decided to jump on the Des Moines Menace bandwagon. People said, what a waste of time. I said, well, if I'm getting come and go sponsorship money. But I watched this migrate, and now here you guys are. You got to be giddy at times to see the participation numbers, to see the excitement. Look at all this focus right now taking place on the women's, Vicky. That's going to take place next week, and you've got to be ecstatic because these young girls want to aspire to play at that level, or at least they have role models, right?
Of course they do, and they look up to those individuals that have put in so much time and given up so much in their life just to do what they want to do and play at the highest level, which is the World Cup. It's amazing.
Well, you've given up a majority of your adult life to the same commitment. I want to switch gears just a minute, guys, if you don't mind. Vicky, let's talk about your commitment to Special Olympics, because since about the mid-2000s, my sons, I had them coaching women's basketball teams, and I took my young collegiate staff up north, and I'm going to start doing that down here, and if they wanted to be an intern, they are going to do one Special Olympic event with me. Once they did that, they caught the fever and realized, you know, how much fun it is, and I closely with the Miracle, the American people down here, and kind of disabilities, and thoroughly enjoy it. Just talk a little bit about how you got involved in that.
I began coaching Special Olympics in 1986, and I've been doing it ever since. I've coached a variety of sports, from bowling to bocce to track and field, basketball, soccer, flag football, to name a few. Our teams have really improved over the years. I typically had a school-age team, and now I coach a master's level team. In 2015, we went to the World Games in Los Angeles with a 7-a-side soccer team. And then this past summer, 2022, we went to Orlando for the USA Games with a master's 7-a-side soccer team. Some of those athletes and partners were the same ones that played in 2015. And we played unified soccer. We mostly promote unified sports, which rests on the position of inclusion. So we try to be inclusive of everybody in all walks of life. That's one of our main focuses.
You know, the lessons that the young people that that I had employed in that, it all impacted me, and it really impacted me when I first started dipping my toe into it. It was about 2001. I worked for the Cubs organization. Then I thought, well, this is a nice, you know, a nice gesture. Well, then I got the bug. Those people are so fun to work with. And enjoy. And of course, there's obstacles. I mean, I'd say there's a lot more obstacles with healthy kids and players than there probably is with them. But it's just to see the joy in their face is what overcame me.
Right. Like our high school soccer team is very involved with Special Olympics, because one of the things is that these are the elite athletes of your high school, and they have a gift. And they share that and share their time socially and through physical activity with these athletes, and they become friends. So it's just being part of the community. It's just another person in the community. And Special Olympics is the easiest group of individuals to coach, because everyone is so willing to do everything and is so driven, and just the attitude is different than sometimes that you find in high school athletics or club athletics.
Now, David, I know that you're very, very active, of course, still in the boys and the girls and on your side. Have you ever taken any of your high school athletes and had them participate in any capacity with Special Olympians or athletes with disabilities and got any response out of those kids?
Yeah, well, not as a team together, but definitely individuals I have my master's is in phys ed, but with my concentration in adaptive phys ed. So I've been involved with Special Olympics back from, 1986, 1987. So we do encourage our kids to help with our school teams, but they do more mentoring during the day as peers for kids in our adapted classes or IED classes that we have at school, where they'll actually go down and volunteer during the day, and then they go to the gym with them and stuff like that. So we do get involved with them, but we don't have a big presence like Vicky does with the Special Olympics at our school.
Well, I'm going to tell you, gang, you know, and I keep taking on projects, but I want to make sure they're positive. And Vicky, I'll get you. I've got your contact information. I would like to have some semblance of a show down here where we have the kids and we'll video stream it. We meld some high school kids with some Special Olympians. I was very involved in the Hall of Fame induction for the young triathlete that won the ESPY award. I was involved with that and interviewed him last year. Maybe we get him down here. And I'd like to put our heads together and do something special down here at Ferg's. We're going to do plenty of special things with your community of soccer, but I would like to just have some conversation to move forward with something for the Special Olympics down here. And I know Mark would thoroughly be behind that.
That would be awesome.
Well, you couldn't have a better spokesperson than Vicky King.
Well, it sounds like this. Okay, so this time of year, you guys coaching club teams. We'll start with David. You got club teams, or are you working with any youth, or are you finally taking a little downtime for yourself?
Well, we at the beginning of the summer we do open fields, basically like practices, but they're not. All we do is play small side games with my high school team. But then 2 years ago, I decided that after 39 years of coaching, I'm going to take some time for myself in the summer and travel. So I've already been to Europe for 2 weeks this year and to Puerto Rico, and I'm headed to Vermont next week. Actually, this weekend I'm in Fort Lauderdale painting my son's house right now. So it's not all play, but I'm definitely taking a little bit time for myself finally.
Bravo, well deserved. How about you, young lady, Vicky? You do anything this summer? Do you know how to relax, or you got to be active all the time?
I like to be active all the time, but I do spend a couple weeks each summer at a camp in North Florida. It's called LYF Springs, and it's a camp for intellectually disabled clients. Period, and we do all types of camp things. They're week-long camps. We swim. We do arts and crafts. We watch movies. We play games at night. We play bingo. We play kickball. We play volleyball. And I do that about two or three times during the summer. And then they've camped during Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and spring break. So I try to attend those when they don't conflict with soccer.
I'm embarrassed. I thought I was busy. I am absolutely embarrassed right now. And you should have a lot more than one trophy, my dear. I assure you that, and I'm sure people think that. God bless you, man. You need to take a little downtime. Get out of the state of Florida, at least. Go up and go somewhere where you can cool down for a little bit.
I know. Well, right now I'm at a sustainable farm. It's called Rosebud Eco Science Center. And 2 days a week, we work with Learn Your Function, Intellectually Disabled Adult Day Program. And they come out here and do their OJT. So we have about 12 clients 2 days a week that come out here. Oh. We teach them about sustainable gardening, and they help us sustain the property. That's what I do in my spare time.
Well, we've gotten involved with Miracle on the Bay down here in a big way. And I love every moment of that as well. Jim, can we talk a little Rowdies for a second?
Sure.
Well, they were efforting, doing everything they could, Ryan Helfrich, and God bless him, you know, he's in the scramble mode with his interim coach and all the pressures of maintaining this undefeated since May 1st. I mean, that in itself is impressive. Tonight they've got a game against the Birmingham Legion, but we'll continue to do that. And I appreciate everything that Coca-Cola and Body Armor are doing to get us tickets. The more the merrier. I'll probably reach out to them, ask them if they would help Vicky with some tickets if she could get down here sometime with some of the Special Olympians that may want to soccer kids that want. I'm sure I could get tickets. So that's another option we can talk about. But it's gonna be a challenge for Ryan to get a replacement. I mean, you don't replace a Neil Collins overnight, do you?
No, you don't. And you know, I'm reminded. I remember seeing an interview with Angelo Dundee, and he said Muhammad Ali was such a great
my
player.
Man, my favorite trainer, and my background boxing, and of course,
no
boxer.
Doubt. Well, you know, Dundee said Muhammad Ali needed me about five or six times in his career. For the most part, he didn't really need me in the corner, but when he needed me, he needed me. And I think the Rowdies are going to be something similar. Neil has a machine there. But somewhere between now and the end of the season and certainly into the playoffs, there are going to be key decisions that the coach has to make. And that's going to be the test for a young Stuart Dobson, who is taking the interim tag. And he's been there this whole time. He preceded Neil, and he's up to it. Time will tell. But I think you kind of have a Muhammad Ali of a team there. But they will need the coach at some stage.
Well, maybe they'll tell Jim Hart to brush off the cobwebs, the legendary coach here in Florida, and get on those sidelines as an assistant or get involved. I bet you would be very good at that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I'm a high school coach and a gym teacher. I'm always happy to help people, but I know my role. I really think Stuart's up for it, and I think the team, the other thing, Neil built a team based on character traits and leadership, and, you know, you heard it when Forrest was on talking, and you just see that it's quality individuals that are on that team. It's a lot like a David Wilson team, to be honest with you. Wiregrass Ranch is very similar. They can function in the moment, and they're based on fundamental character traits. And I think the Rowdies have that going forward.
Well, David, you can throw your hat in. Well, you're getting in that vacation mode. I don't think you'd want to be on those sidelines as an assistant with that long season commitment. But I got to ask you something, David. The several times that I've been concerned about you. The several times that we've had John, it sounded like you were standing out by the roadside. Were you hitchhiking the last couple times?
No, I think that actually I'm inside the house, so I don't know if Jim's out. But he usually takes walks during the day, so he's probably out doing a 2 mile walk. Oh, that's right
here. Jim, if you don't have a car, I'll lend you one, man.
I'm the one. I'm the one who's out there walking for sure.
Yeah,
that's what old people do, Mike. They go
yeah, well, I'll tell you, old people, we can hear the cars whisking by at about 65. I'd be a little cautious of chatting about your favorite thing, soccer, while Florida drivers are that close to you, for pipe's sakes.
No doubt. That's why God made sidewalks, and I stay on the sidewalk.
All right, David. Now, I knew that a Rockhurst guy would be a lot smarter than that, so I'm glad to hear that you weren't hitchhiking on the side of the road to do this interview.
Yeah, Michael, it's always kind of funny because I know Vicky and Jim are very similar to me. And if coach for Jim was, 38 years, I'm going into my 39th. And Vicky's probably been about 50 years now. And she's only 51, by the way. But she, we've all done it forever.
And she sounds like she's got 21.
Yeah, well, we say that, I'm, vacationing this and that. But being the athletic director, there's still no days off. I mean, you still get phone calls every day, and you're still on the computer and doing athletic clearance and whatever else you have to do for other sports. And I still have kids that are interested in colleges for next year, so we're contacting schools for them. And, so you're off, but you're still working all the time. But at least sometimes it's from France or from Spain. So it made it a little bit better for me.
Well, you got three Hall of Famers. We're blessed to have you in our world. We're going to get you on more often, Vicky. I will reach out to you. I've got some ideas that we can kick around. And I do remember meeting you now, and I look forward to further conversations with all three of you. I think we've got a bright future promoting soccer with our new sports channel, FloridaSportsStream.com, and what we're doing here at the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. So you got ideas, send them to me. And for the most part, I'm certain that we'll embrace them in some capacity because they'll, I'm certain, always be positive suggestions. So everybody have a great weekend. Thanks again for joining us on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a quick break, come back, and he's chomping at the bit. So is Ben Botham. We're going to talk a little baseball. We'll interview Tom Brady, who just stepped into the simulator room. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSaintPete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And we're right across from Tropicana Field, 13th and Central, each and every Saturday. We've been here going on 3 years in November, man. Started out with a solo podcast, and we've been fortunate and blessed to have a lot of great relationships that have propelled us. And, of course, it's all about the sponsors and Mark Ferguson stepping up to plate for us, as well as our good friends at Coca-Cola. And Body Armor, Sea Dogs Brewery, everything they do with us, Shipyard, and Ice Pick Vodka on the golf side on the T Florida. By the way, if you're a golf fan, that show is turning into nothing but an entertainment with some golf inserted. And it was a lot of fun the other night. We have a cast of entertainment talent, legitimate talent. I'm just a hack that turns the microphone over to John Rager, who's a PGA of America teaching professional. We now have added Bill Butner. He was on the PGA Tour for 15 years. He was the college coach at Eckerd College, just retired, and he's a pro over at St. Pete Country Club. So we're blessed to have those two guys, two pros and a hack, actually, now, as I head up north. Then we've got Patty the Cart Girl. She's our cocktail queen, and the show's right up here every Thursday from 5 to 7, right here on our network, Tantalk Network as well, and from 5 to 7, and it's just a blast. We had swag. We were giving away race tickets the other night. We did get up to almost 65 people at the end of the night, and you would have been right in the mix of it, but you had to go eat some special food. You were too good for the Sports Connection offer of Ferg's Grub. It was a special night. Prime rib, the meatball sandwich was to die for. And it would have been a my tab.
Believe it or not, Mike, I'm not much of a prime rib guy. I don't know
why. Well, we got other options here.
I know.
Look at the menu. I've seen you eat our grub before. Anyway, you'll be involved because I want to get you out there. I want you to be our ringer against these guys.
All right. Our
sleeper coming from nowhere in these long drive contests, man.
I'll start hitting the links a little bit more, going to Topgolf here and there.
Come here. Free. F-R-E-E. Okay, so we started talking Rays, and let's talk baseball now, because right now is when the season really starts. If you sustain yourself to this point, unless you make an aggressive, like the Phillies did last year, I mean, and that's going to happen, and it's cool to watch. But the trade deadline's coming up, and there was rumors early in the week. Did you hear the Ohtani and the Rays?
Those are still real rumors, Mike. We are a true.
You're not even drinking. You're not even drinking an ice pick this early. You're drinking Body Armor.
Hey, Buster Olney was even reporting on it.
Fake news.
No, Buster Olney was saying, you know, we're uniquely aggressive given the strong play so far this season. And you look at how aggressive we were trying to get Freddie Freeman last year. Sure, if it gets into a bidding war, the Rays are definitely out of the picture.
And you say he doesn't even have to get a new place to live? Dodgers.
Well, but the Angels don't want that, right? I mean, no. If they're going to place him, if the Angels, the owner of the Angels has said he wants to maintain for his fans, because, you know, Ohtani still puts butts in the seats. But if he's going to place him somewhere, I got to imagine southeast of the United States is a lot better than 50 miles down the road, where the fans are just going to flock there.
And we are a great option for him. What's our payroll? 84 million right now?
Yeah, I think
28th. Which is 28th in the league. I did a little homework this week, believe it or not, in case you weren't able to arrive. I thought maybe you were a missing person after Thursday night, so I did some baseball homework.
But no, I really do think the Ohtani trade is a possibility for the Rays. We have young talent, and we have, you know, fledgling major leaguers that are coming up with guys like, who was it, Taj Bradley. If we get rid of him, you know, and maybe some prospects and pick up what I think he has $10 million left on his contract for this year. That's money the Rays can afford, and I would I'd love to get rid of Josh Bradley.
Ohtani, and if nothing else, though, he's a short-term lease, right? They trade some prospects. The Angels might look for someone they can control.
You do that when you have the opportunity we have right now, right?
To win a World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's not here next year. The Rays are never going to give someone a $1 billion contract. Yeah. I mean, a new stadium could be getting ready to open tomorrow, and Stu Sternberg's never going to pay $1 billion. And wouldn't it be sad on a Thursday night in the middle of July to have Toronto Blue Jays in town? You got 1,500 people over there for Ohtani game. I'm not saying it would happen.
That would not happen.
But it's what we have here. It's what Tampa Bay is. We don't make a lot of money. We get a state free income tax. We've been packing the stadium this year. But the truth of the matter is, we're never going to be Chavez Ravine. We're never going to be a Yankee Stadium.
No, we don't need to be. No. But right now, we're given an opportunity, Ben Botham, that you're in the hunt. You come in. You're the piece, and we will be in the World Series, and we'll be facing potentially the Dodgers, and you'll be back in L.A. for the World Series with Rays gear on. Now, that would be cool, wouldn't it, fellas?
Ohtani would have to love that narrative.
Yeah, no, have you seen the mock-ups of him in the Devil Rays jersey? They're pretty sweet, so I would love to see Ohtani in it. And, you know, the real question, do you bet the farm on Ohtani? And I say you do.
I guarantee there's not one Rays fan that doesn't say yes, because he's a class act. He's not high maintenance from that perspective. Loves the game. He's a dual threat.
And I guarantee you, we'd be selling out or coming very darn near.
Close. Oh, no. Yeah, the rest of this
every game. Whole season.
Yeah, the rest of the season. And here's the thing.
Jersey sales?
That's,
oh, my God, to the ceiling.
They're probably selling. Hey, Tom Brady never wore creams. The golden nose are selling. Put Ohtani in a Rays jersey. He can go to the Dodgers, and we'll probably still sell $1 billion of them.
100% right.
that would be sad. So let's go. Can you pull up the standings? Because I'd like to kind of give a broad picture of where we are as the second half of the season started last night, with the exception of us.
All right, yeah, so the Rays are at the top of the AL East with the Orioles right behind them.
One and a half games back.
Blue Jays, 6.5 games back. Red Sox, 8.5. And same with the Yankees right there with them. Love seeing the Yankees in last place.
Dead last.
Then we have the AL Central. Twins are at the head of it with the Guardians right behind them, 0.5 game back.
Garbage division.
It very much is, with the Tigers 5 games back, White Sox 8.5.
The Tigers are in the hunt, garbage division.
Yeah, and same with the White Sox. You look at when they were actually...
What happened to the White Sox?
They were trying to lose a few years back in, 2017, it seemed like, and they have the exact same record at this point with the team that they are actively trying to win.
Yeah, and they were the favorites the last 2 years to win the Central.
White Sox fan, every year this time, they always tell me, and I got a White Sox fan, good friend of mine.
More than you think around here.
It's injuries. It's all injuries. I'm like, every team's dealing with injuries.
Look at the Rays last year.
Well, Rasmussen, he just went out for season-ending surgery for his UCL.
Yep. There are injuries. I'm not saying it's not true, but every team's dealing with injuries in mid-July.
Yeah, and then with the AL West, we have the Rangers at the top of the West.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, the Rangers are doing really well this season. Astros are
get those Strohs out of there, man.
Yes, I can't stand the Astros.
The cheaters.
Yep, 2 games back. Mariners 7 games back. Angels 8 games back. Unbelievable Angels. They've been under 500 almost every year with Trout and Ohtani. Unbelievable.
That's, you know, and then of course Joe Madden. It was all Joe Madden's fault. It's the chemistry that the owners have and their GM and president have created with the Angels. We know that's a problem because Joe Madden is a cool cat that wins.
There's this, even going back, I watched recently this year, I watched the Nolan Ryan. And even when he was with the Angels back in the mid-80s, there was a disconnect there. Something about, they were owned by Gene Autry. There's always been a disconnect with these Angels.
What's wrong with Gene Autry?
Oh, no, nothing wrong.
Country music legend. I got all of his albums.
I love Gene Autry.
The only thing I know about Gene Autry is he's got a great Christmas song that they still play the hell out of every Christmas.
Is that Rudolph the Red?
I don't know what it is, but Gene Autry is a great Christmas option for you folks that are buying right now, early buying for Christmas.
Christmas in July.
Yeah, Christmas in July with Gene Autry. Hey, maybe we could get Matt to fire that up in the studio. Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on to the National League and the NL East. Braves are at the top of the East, and I really do think it's going to be Braves, Rays in the World Series. I think the Braves are the best team in the National League.
I am so happy, and we talked about it on Saturday, and I was fortunate enough to go at the last minute. I didn't have ticks. I got a call from Barry Smith we had on. Well, actually, Sunday morning. Hey, buddy, I need you as a date. My wife's not feeling well. So I went to the game. They came here, and we went to the game, and I hadn't been in, you know, in about a month. And it was so great to see the place packed. I'll tell you, about 70% were Braves. Right. And that 10-4 win held a lot of energy, as you said. And I said that to Barry. I said, Ben said, we both said, we need this. We need this energy and excitement. And then look at the energy that we generated at the All-Star game. And so, you know, the start should be exciting right now. Kansas City.
I went to the Strider game, right, where Strider starts for Strider, the pitcher for the Braves. And, of course, they beat us pretty handily that game. Could not get anything started. But I'm like, they've got pitching. They've got young. They got Acuna?
Yeah.
Acuna.
They've got a team. And I'll tell you what, it seems like the Rays have had trouble hitting National League pitching this year. Cubs, Braves. But, man, I tell you what, we're going to have to face one of those teams.
Braves are the real deal from top to bottom, and they'll spend money.
They certainly will, and I'm a little nervous. I hope it's not Braves in the World Series. I think it's going to be a little tough, but I mean, who else?
They don't have a weakness. The Braves.
Yeah.
And they haven't sold their soul. They're still developing the farm system. They got a raise type mentality about, you know, their farm system, not spending too much money, and very impressive.
And they got that new stadium. Same people who are going to be building the Rays' new stadium. So I'm excited for that. But we have the Marlins right behind them, 9.5 games back. Phillies 13 games back. Mets almost 20 games back, and the Nationals 25 games back.
My God, the Mets! You know, and I pick up that post, as you're well aware of, and I read the columnists just slamming Cohen, writing these big checks. I mean, they're about $40 million more than anybody in the league from the checks they've written for this season, for this 2023 team. And look at those two valuable arms of theirs that have done. I mean, it was sad.
It's unbelievable how feeble those Mets are. I mean, you kind of hate to say you saw it coming, just because maybe the Mets have like a funk to them. They got a little bit of, you know, bad juju, and the Mets always find them
from 1988.
Yeah. So, I don't understand what's wrong with that team. Is it the coaching? You know, is he too old?
I think it's that they're the Yankees' little step.
Don't you badmouth old people?
No, I'm not. Believe me,
my man, Buck Showalter.
I like Buck Showalter. I'm just saying there's some disconnect. I don't know if the players aren't responding to him or what's going on, but that team, it's a dumpster fire.
It is. But you know who I like seeing having a dumpster fire? And they kicked our butt. They swept us. The Phillies.
Wow.
They're 13 out. And they took care of us. What. But every game was close.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
There were a lot of Phillies fans.
We're going to make a comeback.
You think?
But, I mean, it's hard not to have a lot of Phillies fans here. I mean, you have the Threshers, and they do a lot for the community, and right, they're very popular. But moving into the NL Central, the Reds are at the top of it, a team that I think a lot of people didn't see coming.
I love that story. What's that new kid, the third baseman?
L.A. De La Cruz.
So last year, did I tell you this story already? Last year, I went back to see my grandkids in Iowa, when I used to work for the AAA club, the Iowa Cubs. And they were playing the Indianapolis they were the Indians. I don't know if they kept that name. Anyway, the GM, my buddy Sammy, says, watch this kid. He is going to be incredible. He might make it up this year because I'm not certain. They want to work with him a little bit. And so when I'm watching the highlights, that's first night out, I'm like, I watched that kid 9 innings at Spectator Stadium in Des Moines, Iowa. That kid is the real deal. Do you see him steal home?
Oh, yeah.
Remind me of Jackie Robinson.
He is fast as all get out.
Maury Wills.
He's the one that stole first, second, third, and home on
his
pitches.
Yeah, he's about 6'5".
The rocket.
And he hit for a cycle, and it's
16th. Exactly. This kid, I got to get Sammy on and say, man, you are a judge of talent as the GM there.
And I have his rookie card, Mike. I will throw that out there.
Do you really?
I do. I certainly do. I got his, what is it? His silhouette parallel or something like that, where it's just him on like a black background. But
you should invest in futures. You're a futures guy. I like that call.
But the Reds are tied with the Brewers right now for first place in the Central. The Cubs, Mike, that's all for you there. 7 games back. Pirates.
They're competitive again.
Competitive again.
After 2016, we became a dumpster fire. And I'm not a fan of the Ricketts family, the owner. They're out of Omaha, Nebraska. They did invest a lot of money, but then they, you know, they got their 100-year World Series trophy. And now, you know, competitive. But you sell out Wrigley every stinking game. It's not really an issue, you know, from the money piece of it.
Yeah, and then moving into the NL West, you have the Dodgers at the top of it like usual, but the Diamondbacks right behind them, one game back. Giants 2.5, Padres 8.5, and the Rockies 18 games back.
Wouldn't you say, Ray, that the two disappointing fan base clubs owners right now has to be the San Diego Padres and the New York Mets, both thinking that they spend that kind of money, they were going to be more competitive. Now, San Diego made it to the playoffs last year.
And they were competitive against us.
Yes, they were. Snell did.
That was on the back of Snell.
Snell gave him a little playback from 2018. I can go more than seven innings.
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind Snell had, you know, had a little fire burning in the basement.
Oh, you would. Any athlete would.
He had a point to prove, and he certainly proved it.
We knew he was a great pitcher. I mean, but as long as he remained here, it was literally like a scarlet letter, the Game 6 World Series Dodgers. It was like, how can you not leave him in? And even if he mentioned it again, it almost seemed like every time he had a snarl on his face or a cross look, he was, he's still pissed about Game 6.
No, he's mad at Cash. He's mad at...
That's just his demeanor.
Yeah.
That guy's got the... Yeah. He's got the inflection of a car going by your house, or our train. I mean, just nothing, no inflection. So you don't know what his personality is really like. He's kind of a strange cat.
So let me ask you a question, guys, real quick. New stadium, getting it done. Mayor Ken Welch is checking all the boxes, saying all the right things. We're going to have it just across the street, a little left of where the Tropicana.
Yeah, the Hines deal's done.
Right. If the Angels take Cashman's call, or not Cashman's call, but Brian Ault's call, they take the call. They're like, okay, what would you give us for Ohtani? How, with a new stadium already coming in and the fact that the Rays have made their bones on building through the young farm system and bringing these arms, how important would it be for the Rays to possibly do that, to let a few things go, knowing it might take about a half a decade to get back as strong as they are now, but to really have a shot at that 2023 World Series?
I think the Rays definitely need to do it.
You're saying mortgage the future?
Well, yeah, like the Cubs.
Portions of it.
I mean, so far, the people that they're saying that they're throwing around is like Jonathan Aranda, Shane Baz, Junior Camaro, Kyle Manzato, and a few others, and especially some of the young major leaguers, Taj Bradley, who I've talked about, Josh Lowe, Taylor Walls, and a few others. I'm okay getting rid of Taj Bradley. I'll say that all day long. I'm not bought into him. I don't.
He's only 22, man.
I understand.
And they bought him up out of necessity.
He's got all the options on him, even though they had to bring him up early because of Jeffrey Springs and what happened there. But I mean, still, it's like, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing.
What don't you like about him?
He's been inconsistent. He's been inconsistent.
Really inconsistent when they've sent him back to the AAA. To Durham, he's blown up.
Yeah, he blows it up, and then he comes onto the big league stage, and
he doesn't blow it up too bad since he's been down here.
Maybe he's just young, but he gives up a lot of hard contact, and that's what frightens me. I don't like hard contact, and they're, you know, the stat, all these funny stats that they come up with nowadays are absolutely ridiculous. It's stuff that you should be able to look at it with your eye. Sure, he has a whiff rate or a spin rate.
They got a whiff rate?
Yeah, they got all kinds of different stats that they throw out there. But if you watch him play, he gives up a lot of hard contact. Sure, they are two people, but one of these days, that ball is going to drop or that ball is going to go. I don't have a lot of faith.
That's happened. I would like to see these analytics go back, you know, a Bob Gibson. Andy Koufax, and see how the way they threw. And you love that.
Hey, stop me out. Stop now. Here. From now. Back.